Proverbs chapter 9 says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, 'Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight.' Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be numbered, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here, and to him who lacks sense, she says, 'Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol.'"
Good morning. We are going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're only going to look at two verses. And then we're going to kind of pick up and go from there and talk about wisdom. Specifically wisdom in Scripture from the creation to the time of David. And see what maybe we can learn from that, if anything. So our scripture in 1 Samuel 18 is going to be verses 14 and 15. And the scripture reads this way. "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him." This word wisely appears in this chapter four times. Two of them in these two verses. Three times it's about David specifically, and the fourth time it's that Saul saw the way he behaved. And as I looked through this and as I read the chapter, you know, it says that he behaved himself wisely, but he didn't say give you any specifics. You know, it didn't give you anything he did, anything he said that might be wise, just none of those things. And I was looking at that and I was thinking, I wonder if we look through Scripture up to the point of David that he might have had access to, what wisdom would look like. So that's what I want to talk about this morning, is to take these few verses and try to develop a idea of wisdom, primarily from the Psalms and somewhat from a few passages in the first part of the Old Testament. There were a couple of things in this chapter that I think had a little bit to do with wisdom. And I think one of them was David's understanding when he replied to Saul's offer of his daughter to wife. He didn't take this as something that he deserved. He didn't take it as as a wonderful thing. He realized that he was one of the poor families in Israel, that this was something special, and so he responded that way. As I said, David had chosen not to give any specifics. Scripture doesn't give us any specifics about David's wisdom at this point in this particular chapter. But we do know that David is a type of Christ. Christ is his direct descendant. And so, again, as I've said before, we want to see what behaving wisely might have meant to David. I did some looking at defining wisdom. Basically, the secular definitions are kind of all over the place. And even the ones that in some of the Bible dictionaries I wasn't too thrilled with. So I sort of come up with my own definition. And it's basically that wisdom is the proper and practical application of God's law. Now we have implied in wisdom a knowledge of God's law. And the reality is it the better that you understand Scripture, and the better you understand God's law, which is embedded in Scripture, the better your ability to exercise wisdom will be. So, as I said, we're going to look and see what David had to develop wisdom. I chose to include Psalms in this, realizing that many of these were written after the time of, because this is early on in David's life that we are studying here in this part of Scripture. But yet I figure, you know, a lot of what we learn in our childhood. And a lot of this gives us a foundation that we can apply practically, and it becomes wisdom in the way we live and behave. So I think Psalms, even though they're written after the fact, also give us some idea in the way David thought, and maybe gives us some idea of how as a young man that his wisdom began to develop such that we get this particular witness about him in our Scriptures. So the Scripture that he had, first of all, was the Pentateuch, and we know that Moses wrote, because it tells, it says in the Scripture that Moses wrote all these words during their time in the wilderness. The only exception probably being some of the information about his death in Deuteronomy. Judges may not have existed in a similar form to which we have now, but I'm sure Israel had all of this information available, most of it probably written down, and a lot of stuff that we probably don't even have today. Also, the other scripture that we have other than the Psalms is Ruth. This was David's great-grandmother. And therefore, it's pretty obvious David should know a pretty good bit about its history. The Scripture doesn't tell us if she was still alive when he was born, when he was young. It could be, it may not be. But he certainly, from his family, he knew of her. And he also was familiar, as a young man, of the history of Samuel and Saul. Now, exactly how they got news about in those days, I don't know. They certainly didn't have the internet like we do now. So, but still, the kings of Israel, or Saul being the first one, he probably had to develop some way of communicating with the people and with communicating with each other, and they probably had some sort of system even during the time of the judges. Of course, during the time of Moses, you had your leaders. They were constantly together, and I'm sure they were able to spread information in that manner. So we know that David would have known history from the creation to the flood to Abraham to the patriarchs and up to his time. With this knowledge, he would have a foundation in the law, and he would have examples of its application that were in the written and verbal history that he knew. This would be a step into attaining his wisdom. I want to touch on some of these, what I think are some of the most important parts of Scripture that he knew. I didn't try to be exhaustive, and I didn't, you know, really, I just, things that I'm pretty familiar with are things I picked from. So first, from creation to Exodus, what I see are three major events that are important in the developing of wisdom. I would say one is the life of Enoch. Another is the obedience of Noah in building the ark, and the faith of Abraham. Secondly, in the books of the law, specifically, we have the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And if you read Exodus 21 to 23, you have what we would call today case law of examples of the law and what it meant in application with people. And third, we have the example of Joshua after the defeat of Ai. And fourth and finally, the faith and obedience of Ruth. Each of these instances, we see things that are important in wisdom. From Enoch, probably the most important thing was his faith and his ability to walk with God and listen to God. You know, God is a source of wisdom. And so that was true for him. I think it was true for Noah. Abraham, we're not told specifically how God communicated with him, but obviously he did. And Abraham believed him. And this was counted to him for righteousness. Then I think the importance of Joshua after the defeat of Ai. I think this was an example of him not knowing what to do, because we read that after this defeat, he was on the ground praying in distress because of the impact that this might have on the enemies of Israel, on their assigned, can't think of the word I want, their needing to defeat the Canaanites and take the land in possession, which God had ordained that they did. And so we had God come to him and says, here's your problem. You have sin in the camp, and told him what to do. So this is one of the things where Joshua learned a little bit of wisdom, I think, and I think that's important. And Ruth is a tremendous example of someone that's seen the faith of, that has seen the faith of someone else, namely Naomi, recognized the significance of this faith, the truth of the God of Naomi, and chose to follow this God and to be a minister and as a daughter to Naomi. And we know that from this she became the mother of Obed, who was the father of Jesse, the father of David. I think in the life of David, we see three examples of his wisdom that stood out. We all know the story of Goliath. I thought it was interesting that Jonathan, with all the good things we read about him, I would have thought that based on his history up to this point that he might have volunteered to take on Goliath, but he didn't. The whole of Israel was fearful. And we have the faith of David in God, in past examples in his history with the lion and the bear. It gave him the courage to take on this battle and an understanding that God would be with him, which I think is one of the biggest principles of wisdom we need to get into our hearts. The second thing of wisdom of David that we see in 1 Samuel is his refusal to lay his hand on Saul. He had opportunities to slay him. Saul was his enemy. Saul was trying to slay David. And he said, I will not slay God's anointed. So he would return, and we have two examples where Saul was within feet of David. All they had to do was take a spear and kill him, and David would not allow it. We also have the two examples where people came to him. I think they were both Amalekites. Came and said, I kill Saul. And David slew them. And lastly, another example of wisdom that we find in Samuel is in the example of the cursing of Shimei. I assume all, even the younger ones, know about Shimei. Does anybody want me to go through that story? You do? Okay. This is at the time of Absalom's rebellion. Excuse me. David decided to leave Jerusalem. I was reading something somewhere to the effect that he did not consider Jerusalem a good place to be. They could surround the city and siege it and eventually get him. So he left the city. On his way out of the city, Shimei came along. He threw dirt at him. He cursed him from afar. One of David's bodyguards asked permission to go and kill him. He said, no, this is from the Lord. He understood where this cursing come from and its purpose. And we know that ultimately that Shimei, when David returned to Jerusalem after the defeat of Absalom, spared Shimei. He could have had him killed at that point. But he also knew that his son Solomon had the wisdom to know what to do. And ultimately we find that Shimei condemned himself by disobeying what Solomon had told him to do. So we've kind of defined wisdom and reviewed the scriptural basis for it that would have been available to David. So what does this tell us about wisdom? And I have a note here to see if anybody wants to respond to this before I go on. Okay. I want to make a major point at this point. Without the scripture, Christian scriptures, meaning specifically the Bible as we know it, that we have the Holy Bible, and certainly not the Vedas, which are the Indian scriptures, the Hindu scriptures, or the Quran. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking specifically the Christian scriptures. There can be no wisdom. We come across in Proverbs 9:10 this scripture. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If there's no fear of God, there's no faith. If there's no faith, there can be no real wisdom. because you don't really know anything at all if you don't admit to and understand that there's a God and He has told us what He wants us to know. So what can we do to determine what made God David wise? As I said, he didn't have the Proverbs, but he did leave us a significant amount of writing in the Psalms. I've mentioned that most of the Psalms were written after this particular scripture that we're looking at, and that they have given us a look into maybe some things that he developed from his experiences as a youth and from out of scriptures. There are two things that I looked at as I worked on this. I discovered that there are wisdom psalms. Did anybody know that there were some psalms of wisdom? That was a new one for me. There are 7 of them. There are Psalms 1, 37, 49, 73, 112, 127, and 128. And I'm going to go through a little bit of a part of these as we go. It's interesting to me that Psalm 37 is the only one that's titled a Psalm of David. But still, I think he was, even if he didn't write the Psalms, he was aware of the Psalms in his life. And the people he knew had some input into these of similar experiences. And I went through these, and as I said, as we go through them, I picked out some of the verses that would apply to building wisdom in your heart and life. And the other thing I did, and this was one of the most interesting things I did, is I went looking through the Psalms. I started at Psalm 1. With the idea of finding the verses that apply to wisdom. And then try to summarize them into principles, main principles of wisdom, as I saw in some of these verse references. And I also added to this one verse in Exodus, because in Exodus, it's Exodus 31, verses 1 to 6. When God prepared the men to build the temple and the ark and all the things that were involved in that, he refers to the craftsmanship that he gave to these men as a form of wisdom. I tend to forget that, but if you have craftsmanship skills, that is a part of wisdom. So I've added that in here. Our goal in life is to obey God and enjoy Him forever. Wisdom is one of the things we need to get us to this goal. If we can't apply Scripture and apply it correctly, then we are not as likely to get to this goal. Now, I came up with 13 wisdom, I guess you would call them principles of wisdom. And I'm going to give you some scripture references as I go through them. I'm just going to tell you what I found. I think they're self-explanatory, maybe not. The first one was be righteous, avoid sin and evil. This is in Psalm 1:1 and Psalm 4:1-3. The second one is to delight in and meditate in God's Word. This is Psalm 1, verse 2. The third one is understand the end of the ungodly. This is Psalm 1, verses 4 and 5. Number 4 is don't resist godly counsel. This is Psalm 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. The fifth one is be wise and serve or obey the Lord. This is Psalm 2, verses 10 to 12. Number six, trust the Lord to hear your voice and act for your benefit and for His glory. Psalm 3, verses 3 to 8. Psalm 4, verse 8. Psalm 6, 9 and 10. Offer the sacrifice of obedience to God. This is similar to the righteousness that I've already listed. Psalm 4, verse 5. Number 8. Worship God in spirit and truth. Psalm 5, verse 7. Understand what evil is. Psalm 5, verse 9. I thought I had it in there twice, but I don't. Number 10, judge yourself according to God's law. Acknowledge your sin and ask for mercy. Psalm 6, verses 1 to 4 and 17, 2 and 3. Let the Lord guide you in what you do. Psalm 15, 11. Pay your vows, which I also put here, speak the truth. I think that's, if you're going to pay your vows, that's what you have to do. Is your vows are so speaking, you're vowing to do something. And if you don't do it, then you haven't spoken truth or in your vow. So speak the truth. Psalm 76, 11. And, of course, as I mentioned, skill in labor and craftsmanship, which is given of God, is a form of wisdom. Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6, and of course, Exodus 31, 1 to 6. Okay, anybody want to make any comments at this point or add anything? Okay. I'm probably not going to do very many of these. I'll probably just go through a few. But these are some of the some verses out of Psalms. Some of these I've referred to here, so let's look and see. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is this man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. That means you do not participate in the acts of evil men, of rebellious men. Psalm 2, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You can't have wisdom if you don't know the law and if you don't understand its principles. Psalm 37:1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, I have a bit of problem obeying this verse. And I'm all the time having to remind myself to obey this verse and this instruction. Because when you don't, what you're doing is you're number one, you're denying the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, and what's happening is what He wants to happen. And we are to accept it, and what we're to do is to apply to Him for understanding on what we should do in response. There's a reason that these things are like they are. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. A part of wisdom is trust. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of thy heart. He has given you these desires, and if you delight in the Lord, and if you let these desires, if you understand that their God is using them to bring you delight in Him, you will develop. This is a form of wisdom. Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. This is part of wisdom. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him, fret not thyself because him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. This is similar to 37:1. It's in both in that chapter. I'm going to do two more. Psalm 37:8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. The Bible says that when you are angry, you very quickly lose any sense of righteousness. And lastly, and we'll stop here, Psalm 128:1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Again, as I mentioned in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the essence of wisdom. So, I'm going to skip the rest of this, go to the summary. But my summary is a recap of the 14 things I've said about 10 minutes ago. Do you think it's worthwhile? Do I repeat them? I will repeat them. First of all, no fear, no faith, no wisdom. Secondly, be righteous, avoid sin and evil. Third, delight and meditate in God's Word. Four, understand the end of the ungodly. Five, don't resist godly counsel. Six, be wise and obey or serve the Lord. Number seven, trust the Lord to hear your voice and act for your benefit and His glory. Number eight, offers a sacrifice of obedience, which is the same as being righteous, as listed above. Worship God in spirit and in truth. As I think about this, I would add a part of that with your whole heart. Understand what evil is. Judge yourself according to God's law. Acknowledge your sin and ask for mercy. Let the Lord guide you. Pay your vows. Speak the truth, and skill in labor and craftsmanship.